In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Blessings to you this holy night of Christmas. Oh, holy night. It's curious that so often in the world has chosen to celebrate its feast in the context of the day, in the context of the sun. We fight our wars, produce our commerce, our productivity, our industry in the light of day. But the church has so often chosen to choose for herself the night to celebrate her feast while the world is sleeping. It was at night that Moses instructed those Passover lambs to be taken, the blood placed on the doorposts of the homes of the Israelites. It was at night when the angel of death came into Egypt and passed over the homes, thus saving his people Israel. It was at night that Jesus often chose lonely places to pray and to seek God. It was at night that Nicodemus came to Jesus, asking him in secret, what is it like to be born from above? It was at night that Jesus took his disciples to the upper room and gave them the gift of the Last Supper, the Eucharist. It was at night when Peter, James, and John fell asleep in that garden before Jesus' arrest. And though he died during the day, we are told that the sky darkened as if to resemble the night. It was at night that our Lord was born in Bethlehem. So we honor the holy night tonight, but not just the birth that's familiar to us at Bethlehem. There are three births that we honor tonight in the mystery of night. The first is wrapped in mystery, and we will never comprehend it. But we honor the birth in the night of eternity. We've always known that since the beginningless beginning, there has always been another with God. There has always been another. And it is with Christ of God. We talk about this every Sunday when we quote the creed. When we speak of the Christ of God. God from God, light from light, very God and very God. The God that not made of one substance with the Father through whom all things were made. The Christ of God, begotten in the night of eternity. All through the prophets and the sages, and the stories of the Old Testament, there's the Christ of God. And then there's the familiar birth that we honor tonight. The familiar birth that took place on the date and the calendar of time and a place on this earth of Bethlehem. When this Christ of God, born in the night of eternity, was born through the flesh of the Virgin Mary. And the immortal, invisible love of God walked this earth in a way that we could touch and feel and know Him. And to some people, this is an offense. To others, it is laughable. But to Christians, it is what we believe. It is what gives us our salvation. And then, did you know there's another night that we celebrate tonight? Do you know what it is? Tonight! Tonight, because we believe that the miracle did not end the day that Jesus was born, we believe that through the liturgy that never becomes old, the ancient music that never becomes old, the ancient custom of gathering together that never becomes old, through the ancient prayers that never become old, that this night we gather and Christ is born in us. That's what was symbolized when we placed the bambino, the baby in the manger tonight. That Christ is born to us in the Mass that we celebrate. And we might say, He's born in us. Has He not been born before? But we as Christians believe that all through our lives, Christ is born in us thousands upon thousands of times. Now, not all. I share a story. When I was young, I grew up as an Episcopalian all of my life. Was raised. But I grew up in the evangelical Bible Belt in the South. And my friends were not Episcopalian. They were Pentecostal and Baptist and Methodist and some of these wonderful other traditions. And so often on Thursday nights and Sunday nights, I would go with them. And I learned a lot. It gave me an appreciation and understanding of so much of what we do here. But I remember once, and I won't even say what denomination it was the custom at the end of the service for the preacher to give the altar call. Does anybody know what an altar call is? He said, bow your heads. There's a sinner out there. I know who you are. comes forward. I said, oh, how did he know? How did he know? He knows. I thought he had x-ray eyes. I just knew. I was hanging on to the pew. And my friend Daryl was no help. He said, You better go. One chance. I didn't go. Daryl says, you're not saved. Well, I did. It worried me. And so I did a courageous thing. I went to speak to my Episcopal priest. And back in my day, speaking to an adult as a 10 or 11 year old kid was not easy. You straightened up when an adult came in the room. And this man seemed stern to me, Father Story. He was ancient. He must have been 45 years old. But I mustered the courage to go to Father Story and say, am I saved? What is this? And he did the most beautiful thing. Uncharacteristic of this very, well, I thought, somewhat stern man. He knelt down on my level, put his hands on my shoulders, and he said to me the most Anglican thing I've ever heard. He said, you just remember this. You were saved 2,000 years ago on the first Good Friday. Don't you ever forget it. I've never forgotten it. And I came to realize in theology in the church that when it comes to the sacraments, such as baptism, what is baptism? An outward sign of an inward grace. An outward sign that reminds us you were saved 2,000 years ago on the first Good Friday. The sacrament of confirmation, what is it? An outward sign of an inward grace. When we stand at the age of 12 and older before a bishop and congregation. It's like, I am now of age that I can renew the vows my godparents took to me at my baptism. That I can celebrate with my own mind. I was saved 2,000 years ago on the first Good Friday. And every time we say the name of Jesus, every time we take the sacrament of the Mass, every time we pray, every time we come to a congregation, Christ is born in us over and over again. Conversion is not a one-time deal. It started 2,000 years ago on the first Good Friday. And it happens thousands of times from the day we're born to the day we take our last breath. But there are holy days. The church has always believed the Mass of Christmas, and indeed also the Mass of Easter, are special and very holy. That Christ is born in us tonight in a way that is unique and lovely. And so as your pastor, I ask you to expect something tonight. To expect as we gather and to take the sacrament. For Christ to be born in us, to expect to leave these doors a bit more changed than when we arrived. And that is a promise of faith. It's the promise of Christmas. This is a holy night. Thank you for your prayers and presence.